Hello, and welcome back to the She's Plant-Based podcast. If you're new here, my name is Autumn. I am a holistic health coach and passionate talking about all things health and wellness. Thanks for tuning back in. I am super excited for today's topic. We're going to be talking about feminine energy, tapping into your feminine energy, what that means, what that looks like, and all of that stuff. But before we get into today's topic, I have just been starting off the episodes with chatting about some highs and lows, things that are going on in my life. So I know last week's episode, I talked about just some lows that I was facing, and one of them has been my nightmares. I have been having really just dark, disturbing dreams, and yeah, I don't know, it's been so weird, and this is something that's just been common in my life, but oddly, ever since I talked about it, I really don't remember my dreams now, which is really weird. Usually I remember my dreams, but yeah, I have been just trying different things. I am reading the book, The Power of Your Subconscious, and it's been helpful. Like, it's been good information, but I think I need to get a book on dreams specifically, I guess, and tap more into that. But I've just been like trying to cleanse my space more. Someone reached out and told me to sleep with my crystal, which I tried doing, but yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what my dreams are because I haven't remembered them at all this week. So yeah, I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. So that's like a little update on the dreams. So we'll just see what happens moving forward. And I think I want to get a book on dreams. So if you have any recommendations, please send that over. But I feel like some highs. I have been on my period. Today is day 4. And my periods have changed so much over the past few months. Just from back in August, I was dealing with terrible cysts and painful periods, and sex was painful. Yeah, just overall not feeling good and not in a good place. And especially when you're dealing with health issues, it really begins to take a toll on your mental health. And so it can be really frustrating when things aren't working and I'm trying all the things, but I've just been really patient with my body over the past few months, and I have noticed some really great changes with my body. I've been implementing just a lot of great things to help with excess estrogen in the body, so detoxing that, making sure that I'm eating enough protein, getting protein with every single meal. I've cut back on sugar and just like other things that are going to stress out my body. And so I've just been more mindful with what I'm doing and all of that. I can talk more about that in another episode. I definitely need to do an updated episode talking about hormones. I do have an episode called my experience being on hormonal birth control and what I do now. And so I touch a lot of the things that I'm currently doing right now, but I would say like the biggest thing I've noticed is I've included just more cruciferous vegetables, and I know really trying to eat more sprouts and all that stuff, and I find that it has really helped dissolve my cysts, because typically cysts form because of estrogen dominance. So yeah, it's been working, and it's been good. So I would say that's been pretty much a really big high recently. I my PMS is nothing anymore. Of course, I still PMS slightly. I just find that I'm a little bit more emotional and sensitive and all that stuff. I'm not dealing with bad cramps. I'm not dealing with crazy breakdowns and mood swings, which I was before. When I would get my period, I was just so depressed and so like numb almost. And that was really weird. I did not like that. And that's how I was feeling over the summer. And I'm just happy that I'm in a better place because that's just not fun. So yeah, I think that's just been a really big high. It's honestly been raining the entire month in LA. And so I've just really taken this opportunity to do more things inside and doing more creative work. I have been, you know, just having chill time with friends, which has been nice. My friends and I are just kind of in this time where none of us want to go out and drink, which is really cool. So we've just been doing other things like dinners and brunch and vision boards and all that stuff. So that's been super fun. Yeah, that's kind of just been the high recently. I went to the gym today, so I'm feeling good. And there hasn't been too many lows, to be honest. I can't really think of anything specifically. There honestly haven't been a lot of lows, which is good. Overall, things have been good. I had a good weekend, and I'm just really excited for this week. Yeah, I'm just feeling great. So now let's go ahead and dive into today's episode, and we're going to be talking about feminine energy and femininity. I also want to tap into kind of just the masculine and talking about the both of these things. I feel like if I talk about the feminine, I need to just mention the masculine. So masculine and feminine energies exist within all of us. And I think the main thing is it's essential to understand your core energy. And so for me personally, I feel the most energized when I'm in my feminine. I have found that, yeah, we are in our masculine. Many women are working and we have jobs and all that stuff. But I've found when I just overdo it, I easily get burnt out. When I am in my feminine, like, I could be there all day, just all day. If money could just come to me and I don't have to work, like, I would be a pretty happy person. Just in an ideal world, in a pretend world. And that's not to say I don't love my job. I do. I feel like I am definitely in my feminine a lot. I help people and I coach people. And so I really have to be in that feminine space. And it's just the most natural for me. So I'm super grateful that I get to be in that space when I work. So masculine is often associated with men, and the feminine is often associated with women. However, it's important to note that these energies are necessarily not specific to gender, nor do they dictate sexuality. We all embody both, but generally we have a dominant or a core energy. So there are men more in their feminine, there are women more in their masculine, and so it has nothing to do with gender or your sexuality. So let's quickly go over just some different traits when it comes to masculine and feminine. And so the masculine is strong, focused, controlled, powerful, centered, purpose-driven, loves a challenge, competitive, single-task oriented, problem solver, wants freedom and release, needs admiration and appreciation, wants to be needed and respected, and then some intimacy killers, being criticized, control, or shut out. The feminine is free, flowing, open, radiant, creative, needs assurance and attention, wants trust, connection, praise, multitaskers. So think about mothers. Mothers are the epitome of femininity. They are doing a million things at once. I always joke around with this, but a working mom could literally be like holding her baby, pregnant, on a work call, and cooking food all at the same time, and she can handle it. Like, that is just a superpower. Whereas men, they wouldn't be able to do that. Like, even just seeing the dynamic in my family, and when my dad's doing something and my mom's doing something, she can do multiple things and my dad can't. But again, like, this is not black and white. Black and white, you can embody both. I may have listed some things in the masculine that really resonate and some things in the feminine may not, and vice versa. And so this may resonate with some people, but I think it's interesting too how your dominant energy, like how your core energy can shift. And when I think back to when I was a little girl, I was mainly in my feminine. I was very free, flowy, very dreamy, imaginative, creative. I hated anything school related. I hated just sitting at school. I hated being told what to do. I just wanted to be on my own schedule and in my own world. And my aunt, who is like a second mom to me, has influenced me a lot. I didn't meet her until I was 9. My dad was adopted and reconnected with his birth parents and his blood siblings. And my aunt is definitely a woman in her masculine, what we would call as a boss bitch or boss woman. She is strong, focused, powerful, purpose driven, like to the extreme. And so she really pushed more of this side on me, which I'm super grateful for. And I honestly would not be where I am today without her. And so from that moment on, I became such a hard worker. I started taking school really seriously. I was always someone working, you know, 2 to 3 jobs, just very in my masculine and just constantly doing. Like if I had free time, I was like, I need to make money. I need to be doing something. And that was my mindset for a very long time. And it was something that was hard for me to detach. And it was also something that I felt like I have to do. Like to be successful, I have to show up this way. It wasn't, you know, easy for me. I felt burned out and it was definitely hard. And I was for sure overdoing it. I don't think that working 2 to 3 jobs and being a full-time student is realistic. I definitely took it to an extreme at a certain point and then, you know, obviously cut back and had one job. But, you know, I enjoyed working in school and I've always been a hard worker, but I just felt like there was so much pressure to do well and to be successful and to be a certain way. So as you can tell, our external environment influences us. We have people coming into our life telling us we need to be, you know, more hardworking, or we need to take school more seriously, or we need to find a serious, real big girl job. We need to be less emotional. We need to be more open. I just think that there's so much noise around us that we can get lost in it, especially at a young age, an adolescence, when we're really trying to figure ourselves out. And so we look around and see what everyone else is doing and like, how can I be more of that? I want to be a part of what everyone else is a part of. It's uncomfortable to be different when you're young. And so I feel like it's super easy to get lost in it. And so through this process, we become disconnected from, you know, our core self, who we are at our core. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I've really realized this and I've become so disconnected from my true self. And so just another example, like let's take a woman who is feminine at her core, and she expressed this at a very young age as a young girl. And as she gets older, she begins to crave attention from a certain parent and thinks, you know, wait, if I'm focused, productive, getting good grades, if I can control myself and obey structure and all this stuff, like more in your masculine, I will receive love and praise. And so that's something that I dealt with personally. Like my dad showed me love when I got good grades. If it was something like school or work related, that's when I found him praising me. And so, you know, let's say this young girl reaches her teenage years and she wants attention from a certain boy, but the boy isn't paying attention to her because he likes the girls who are free and flowing, radiant. And so, you know, that's just one example, but it's really interesting to see how we can easily be influenced and disconnect from what is called our core energy. So I think many of us can agree that there has been a really big shift over the years Since women have started working, we have seen more and more women rise and step into their power. We have been taught to be more in our masculine for success and survival, but this can lead to things like burnout and so forth. It can cause intimacy issues as well, especially if you're trying to attract a partner, if you're trying to attract a male in his masculine, if you're trying to attract a man in his masculine. So if you're so used to getting shit done, planning, in control, you know, powerful, then you may naturally attract a man in their feminine because you're playing that role already. And sometimes the role that we play in our day-to-day life and in work can pour into our romantic relationships. So you find yourself, you know, planning the dates and taking the initiative and so forth. And this is not to say this is wrong or right, but I think that if we want to be more on our feminine, we have to begin to take that step back, especially in relationships and in dating, because I even found myself chasing and taking the initiative, even for first dates, why was I putting up with this? I would, you know, a guy would message me and we're like, okay, like we're going to hang out. And then he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, you just need to plan something. You need to pick a spot where we can just go grab a drink or go grab dinner. It's not that difficult. But I found myself just putting up with it. And so I would make the plan. Even the day of, like the day of the date, I would be like, oh, like, you know, just come over. We can go here. We can go there. And I will plan it out. And I found myself in that situation a lot. Of course, not every single time, but still, like if I had to do that for a date, like I would still do it. Like looking back, I should have just not even responded to the guy if he didn't have anything planned. But learning lessons. So I think it's really interesting how sometimes we can begin to play that role. And that's just not a role that I want to play. And for some women, if that is something that you're cool with, like, cool. But I think especially in the beginning, the guy should be doing the planning. The man should be doing the planning. We put so much energy into getting ready, doing our hair, doing our makeup. I know girls who it takes 2-3 hours to get ready. You know, I only take, you know, about an hour. But still, like, we put so much work into getting ready, and then to, on top of that, have to think about where we're gonna go, what time we're meeting, making the reservation, all that stuff. Like, it needs to be done for us. So, don't accept anything less. But I've also noticed that, even for myself, is if you're too far into your feminine, submissive, empathetic, open, trusting, and supportive to the point that you do not have boundaries. Oftentimes with this, many of these women, including myself, I found myself attracting men who are narcissists, abusive, manipulative, and I put up with it. I just accepted it. And this is not to say I am excusing the toxic behavior. It is terrible and no one deserves this and it's not your fault. But what happens is these type of men latch on to you because you are so trusting and empathetic and you're more willing to, you know, excuse their behavior and make up excuses. And yeah, it can lead down a really dark road. And I found myself in just two really rough relationships with two narcissist men. So again, like there's polarity. You can be too far, you know, into the masculine and it could not be a fun experience. You could be too far in your feminine and, you know, it cannot be a fun experience. So I think just having a healthy balance of both, but also leaning more into the feminine, is just a place that I want to be in personally. But I don't want to talk about like too much about the dynamic and relationships and femininity. I feel like I want to do a separate episode on relationships, and I feel like I've been talking about this a lot. It's definitely on the top of my list to make an episode about relationships and all that stuff, because I think it's really interesting. And I don't know, I feel like I've just learned a lot, and now I'm in a very healthy relationship, and I'm so happy. And that was not the majority of my dating life and my previous relationship. So I definitely want to tap into this more. But today's episode, I just really want to focus on how to be more in your feminine and how to access that and what that means. So let's go over that. And so I just want you to think about what this even means to you. Like, when I bring this up, like, what does being in your feminine mean? Like, what does that look like? Maybe a celebrity comes to mind. Like, when I think of feminine women, I think of Emma Watson. Like, she's just someone that stands out. When I think of dark feminine, I think of Megan Fox, just like very dark and sexy. Even though, like, Megan Fox nowadays, I don't really know what's up. Nothing against her, but that's who I think of. And, like, Angelina Jolie, like, that dark feminine. And so that's just something that I want you to think about. Like, what's your definition? And is there anyone that you can think of in your life who really embodies that goddess feminine energy? So when I think of feminine, I think of intuition. I think that this is one of the best ways you can embrace your feminine side, building trust with your intuition. Your intuition is soft and quiet. It's those little pings that you receive. It's not fear-based. If you feel anxious and scared, that is not your intuition speaking. That is your monkey mind. Your intuition lives in your body. So begin to do things that bring you back into your body. I always say this when we are wanting to listen to our intuition, do things that bring you back into your body. Doing a meditation that brings you back into your body. Journaling could help with this. Breath work, you know, just breathing, doing anything that you can feel, like even yoga. I have some friends who say, like, my intuition is the loudest when I am taking a yoga class. So each person's going to be different. Like, for me, I love meditation. That is how I connect to my intuition. That's when I hear it the most. So just keep in mind, like, the difference between the two, intuition and intrusive thoughts. Like, your intuition is always going to be soft. It's not going to make you feel fearful like the monkey mind does. And so a really, like, fun thing that you can do is a heart-centered meditation and just visualizing energy moving through your body and this light kind of just filling up your heart center. I find that that's a really great technique and exercise that you can do. Before I, you know, want to, like, sit down and begin to, like, ask myself questions, when I really need an answer for something, that is what I do. When I have to make a big decision, or if I'm feeling lost or confused, I will do that. And so I think that when you get those answers and when those things come up, begin to trust it. Oftentimes we can question it or ignore it. And the more that we ignore it, the more that we disconnect. Like, how many situations have you been in where your intuition's like, no, 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 no. And you're like, Your ego's like, I'm gonna do it anyways. And so you do that thing and you come back to the original feeling that this gave you. Like, I just think that even relating this back to dating, because I'm just thinking back to my dating life, like, immediately when I felt a no with a guy, but I'm like, but, like, maybe I'll give him a chance, all this stuff, da 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 da. When immediately I already started off a no, my intuition was like, no, I don't have a good gut feeling about this. And then I end up getting hurt. And so it's like those moments I'm like, damn, I wish I would have listened. So it can protect us in a lot of situations. So simply by just building more trust with your intuition and listening to it, like, actually listening to it, will be super helpful. But it's a process. Sometimes it can be hard, but just trying it out, I think the best way you can build a better connection is actually by listening. Like, think about the relationship with your best friend. Like, why do you trust her or him? You know, it's taken time to build that trust. So think, same thing with your intuition. And so the more that you trust it, the more shifts that you'll experience and the stronger your intuition will become. So even something as simple as eating intuitively, like that's when I really began tapping more into my intuition, is listening to my body, listening to what it wants, what foods sound good, you know, stopping when I'm full, eating when I'm hungry. And I know this sounds really simple, but for a lot of people, it's really hard to eat intuitively and listen to their body, because we're so in our masculine, like with structure, with our meals, and we have to eat at specific times, and it's not free and flowy, you know? And so with something like intuitive eating, it's very free and flowy and there is no rules. And so I noticed the minute I started eating intuitively, I became more intuitive. I was connecting more to myself, and that pours into a lot of different areas now. A lot of my coaching is intuitive. You know, my work is intuitive. Movement is intuitive. And of course I plan things out, but I'm always making sure that I'm checking back in with my intuition. Like, how is all this making me feel? Even though I said I was going to work out glutes today, but you know, that could change last minute. Like, you know what? I really want to do cardio. I really want to go on a run. So listening to my intuition and not, stressing out if I like quote unquote break the rule, like it doesn't have to be these rules, letting that feeling guide you. And so the more that you follow that feeling, I think that things will naturally begin to unfold. So speaking of feelings, really allowing yourself to feel. The feminine is full of emotions, and this person is connected to their emotional side, which is their superpower. When you are so connected to your emotions, you pick up on everyone else's emotions. So you're really feeling what other people are feeling. You're really in tune with how other people are feeling. And this is something that I've always been really, really great at. I'm just very in tune with the people around me. Even at a very young age, very connected to my friends. And so, allowing yourself to be in that emotional space, and being emotional doesn't mean just crying. Like, of course, allow yourself to cry and allow yourself to feel, but express your feelings to people that you love. Like, vocalize it. Maybe write them a letter. Write yourself a letter. Get together with your friends. Like, how do you like to feel your emotions? Like, what helps you express that? And for some people, it's going to look different. It's going to be music. It's going to be art. It's going to be, you know, cooking, writing. Like, it really is going to look different for everyone. And so allowing yourself to just be in that space, and know that being in that space is safe. You are safe to feel. And for a long time, I used to be emotionally shut off. I couldn't open up to anyone, which is so funny. I'm such an open person now. It's taken some time to get here. But my infamous line was like, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. Like, there's nothing wrong. And so I had a really hard time talking about my emotions because of the way that I grew up. I didn't grow up in a home where I felt safe talking about my emotions. And when I did, you know, sometimes it just, the experience didn't, turn out well. So yeah, I just learned to be kind of shut off at a really young age, and, you know, just saw some things that have really affected me emotionally. And I was too scared to talk about things, which made me even more closed off. And I've just found that the more that I've been open and just open with myself, like being open and honest with myself, like sometimes we can really ignore how we're feeling, and we begin to lie to ourselves about how we feel. And it can be a tough thing to admit, like, oh, I'm feeling angry. I think as women, we've been taught that it's not okay to to be angry. And so it is an emotion that I see a lot of women suppressing. And there's this idea that we always have to be happy and bubbly and nurturing and all that stuff. And we're not allowed to feel certain things, that it's bad or you're too much or whatever that it is. So just know that it's safe to feel, and you don't need to express everything to everyone and pour your heart out to everyone. But I think most importantly, like, being honest to yourself and just having tools and things that can really help you be more emotional and honest with yourself and working through those inner demons. I found the more self-work that I've done and the more honest that I've been with certain things that have gone on in my past, it's made me such a softer person. And I did have this side of me that didn't come out often, but there was a lot of anger because there was a lot of pain. The root of it was pain and sadness and fear. And so it would come out as anger. I just remember getting into a lot of fights with my parents. There was just so much anger built in me. And I even found in my last relationship, a lot of things would make me really angry and I just didn't know how to communicate. And so when I really began diving deep within myself and really understanding my triggers and why I'm behaving this way, I have softened up so much. So yeah, don't be afraid of your emotions. I know that they can be really scary, but I always think about, like, when you're confronting your emotions, you have to be gentle and kind with yourself, as if you were, like, think about as if you were talking to younger you. How would you treat her? Like, how would you be there for her when these big emotions came up, when these overwhelming feelings, when these feelings felt like they were overpowering you? Like, how would you, like, what advice would you give your younger self? And so begin to care for yourself in that way. I think that's an easy way to look at it. Next thing is rest. This one is big. I work with a lot of women and they have such a hard time resting. I think a lot of us do. But to tap more into our feminine, we really need to embrace rest, recharging. This is so good for the soul. And the masculine gets their energy from doing. They love it. They thrive off of it. And so for the feminine, we really need to tap into this, especially if we want to make room for our intuition and our feelings. We need to rest. Again, like, when I am, you know, lounging and recharging, a little R&R, my intuition is so loud and I can really connect back to myself and understand how I'm feeling. When I'm constantly doing and giving and my energy is all over the place and not with me, I don't even have, like, a second to process how I'm feeling. I don't know if anyone else feels this way. And it's like, the minute I slow down, I'm like, whoa, okay, this is how I feel. I'm actually tired. I'm actually hungry. And so we can become almost disconnected from our bodies. So it's so important to slow down and rest. And resting at home doesn't mean scrolling and watching TV. Yes, like, that's totally fine, and I don't want to make anyone feel bad for doing that. I'm definitely guilty for being on my phone and stuff, but really try to do something like an active rest. So of course you're resting, but doing something like reading or journaling, meditating, nature, like going out by the ocean and just being present and relaxed there. Or, you know, if you don't live by the beach, going out into the woods or a field or wherever feels, you know, safe and grounding. I find that when I am in nature, my intuition and my connection back to myself is so strong, and like actually being present and not being on my phone. So yeah, that's just something to keep in mind. I find that our phones can really disconnect us from our bodies. There's definitely been times where I'm scrolling and then I stop and it's been a couple of hours and I'm like, it's such an outer body experience. I forget that I'm even a human. So it's so important to do things that, again, bring us back into our bodies. That's, I feel like, a big theme. And something that I'm always talking about. So the next thing is allow yourself to be free and flowy. oftentimes we create a very rigid schedule, and it's funny, if you know me, like, I feel like my answer for a lot of things is, it just makes me feel good. Like, I eat in a way that makes me feel good. I move my body in a way that makes me feel good. I just make sure that I'm doing things that make me feel good. It's not super deep. Of course, again, like, when it comes to my schedule and work, like, I'm scheduling things in, but it's not this super rigid thing. If I am feeling like I need a little break, I'm gonna make sure that I do that, because if I don't, I'm just not gonna show up as my best self. And so, yeah, I'm not a big fan of super rigid and strict routines. I think that this can cause more harm than good. It can cause a lot of stress and anxiety. And I have just noticed in the past that it's really, really messed up my mental health. And I feel like this is like a lesson that I go through waves with. Sometimes it can be really challenging for me to be more in that free and flowy state. So I'm definitely not perfect with this one. But I find that when I'm too much in my masculine and doing, that burnout is going to come. And so just making sure that if I'm doing a lot during the day, creating some space, you know, in between my day, or making sure that I'm getting my morning routine in, and making sure that I'm doing my night routine, so I have little things to look forward that make me feel really free and at peace. And so I think some like fun things that you can do is just like go run around naked, like go in a place where no one is and go with your girlfriends. There was a spot in Ojai, and we would go by this creek, and we would just sit there topless and tan topless. It was so freeing and fun. Even just jumping into a freezing cold ocean is really freeing and fun. Running around a field, playing. Like, I think this is why I love summer so much, because it brings me back to my inner child, and I just have many beach days. I'm playing in the sand, I'm running around, I'm in the water, and it's just something that makes me feel so at peace. So just think back to your inner child and things that your inner child liked to do. Like, have fun, play, and just do things that make you feel free. I feel like these two kind of tie together, but tap into your creativity. Like, do something fun that you can get lost in. And I think that art appears in many forms. It's not just painting and drawing, but cooking, even working on a fun creative project, photography, modeling, just whatever is going to tap you into your flow state. I think another fun thing is doing something that makes you feel feminine. I think it's fun to play around with our avatar. So, you know, wear your hair down, maybe curl it, wave it, do a different style. I think that wearing your hair down and having it curled and done is very goddess feminine-like. Wear dresses. And the thing is, like, feminine doesn't just mean pink and girly. There's also what we talked about earlier is the dark feminine, which is very sexy and dark clothes and dark makeup. And so play around and do what feels authentic. But honestly, just doing something like, which I haven't in a long time and I'm feeling called to, is getting my nails done. I've taken a big break from that just because it was ruining my nails for a minute. I could still get it painted, but I feel like paint just chips and it's not really realistic. Like, I feel like, is nail polish paint still in? I don't even know why they have it. But yeah, getting some of my nails done, grooming, like shaving my legs, doing my eyebrows, rubbing lotion all over my body, oil all over my body, massaging my skin, taking a nice bath, like putting some rose petals in, that makes me feel really feminine. Dressing sexy, like putting on an outfit that makes me feel empowered and good, even just like a little bit of makeup, that could literally change my day. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be in sweatpants and wanting to be comfy, but I think that just tapping more into that is very empowering. And I feel, you know, my most confident self, even though I can feel really confident in my sweats and stuff too. But it really is a game changer when I, you know, put some cute clothes on and have my makeup done, have my hair done. I have my lip gloss on. Things are good. So this is a big one, and it is receiving. This one can be hard. So really allow yourself to really allow yourself to surrender and receive. If someone compliments you, say thank you. Don't shy away and say, oh no, like me, I'm not pretty, or my hair looks terrible today. Oh no, I look so bad. So many women are guilty of this, and I have found myself so much in my past not taking the compliment. And I have found myself too, like, me? Oh no, like look at you, like you're so beautiful, you're so this. And I found that I would feel, I felt like I had to give the compliment back to redirect the attention. I didn't like the attention that that person was giving me. And that was at like the core of it. I didn't want to receive it. I didn't want to accept it. And so the next time someone compliments you, really just like notice your behavior before even responding. Like sometimes the natural response is to say like, oh no, or what? Like, look at you, not me. I look like crap today. Just say thank you. Just say thank you. And you don't always have to give a compliment back. And this isn't in a bitchy way. Like obviously if it feels authentic, do it. But I find that sometimes we feel like we have to say something back to redirect that attention. So really allow yourself to like accept that compliment and take it in and really begin to feel it and receive it. Also if someone's trying to take care of you, let them. I find that us women, we play the caretaker role a lot. And so it can be really hard for us to even ask for that support. I've even found this for myself. It can be really hard for me to like tell someone, okay, I need some help, because it's hard for me to receive that care because my entire life I've been taking care of myself. And so it's something that I've been unlearning. Especially someone who's just like lived in their masculine. So if there's someone who is trying to take care of you, let them. And I know I mentioned this earlier, but if a man is trying to take you out and he's taking the initiative and planning and all of that, like, I think that's such a good opportunity, like a really good growing opportunity. I even found that for myself to really just let a man take care of it. It is the sexiest thing when you're about to go on that first date and he's like, okay, like it's booked. What do you like to eat? Da 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 da. Plan this out and it's done. And you can really be in that receiving mode and let this person take you out. Let this person make you feel like you are a queen and, you know, a goddess. And so, you know, you'll also learn this through other people. I think that's the biggest thing with the receiving, is you learn this through other people, whether it's romantic relationships, dating, friendships, the relationship with your parents, and really begin to lean into this space and let yourself know that you deserve this. Like, you are not too much for wanting these really simple things. Because I know that there is a part of me that had a hard time believing that I deserve this. I deserve to be treated like a queen. And it also was, it didn't make sense to me that there was guys out there who actually wanted to take care of me. Like, that's a really big thing that I feel like I've learned in my relationship, that I can be in the receiving space, that I don't have to feel bad for not paying for certain things, or, you know, not feeling bad for whatever that it is. If he wants to take care of me, if he wants to plan something, I found myself in the past saying, oh no, like, you don't need to do that for me. Oh no, are you sure you want to pay for me? Like, let's just split. Like, please, please, please. And instead, if he says something and he's going to do it, if he says he's going to pay for something or we have something planned or like whatever that it is, I'm like, okay, like amazing. And obviously, you know, I thank him and I praise him and I show him that I appreciate all of that. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just a really interesting thing and a new thing for me is really receiving that from a romantic partner. But I have to say, when you are in your feminine and when you are in that receiving space, you are literally magnetic. I remember this was fall of 2021 and I was really doing a lot of healing and tapping more into my feminine and just being more in that space. I was magnetic and I don't know what was happening. It was crazy because nothing externally changed. Like I looked the same, but it was the energy that I was carrying. And I kid you not, I have been doing the same walk in LA since I moved here. And, you know, there were times when I was going on my walk and I was being approached. There was, you know, times where I'm sitting at dinner and a guy would come up to me and ask me out. It was just the craziest thing because I was so magnetic. And even my friends were like, I've never seen so many guys approach you. And so it was a really interesting experience. And it really just reminded me that, wow, okay, being in the space, being in my feminine really makes you magnetic. So if you don't believe me, try it out, test all this out and come back to me because like this works, this really works. Another big thing is to tap into your sexuality. I think a lot of women are afraid to do this or it's really scary and uncomfortable. I'm super lucky to have had parents who let me be open with my sexuality and, you know, how I dressed and the things that I did. They really never shamed me. And that's something that I've always really admired from my parents. They really just like let me be me and let me be open and really like let me wear, to an extent, whatever that I wanted. Like if there were some things, my parents were like, girl, you need to cover up a little bit. But overall, like they never made me feel bad about, you know, the way that I dressed and how I embraced my sexuality. So dress in a way that makes you feel good. Dance, like movement is so great and it makes you feel sexy. Recite affirmations, have a photo shoot. Do things that just give you bliss and joy. And by doing this, you're going to feel more confident. And going back to like the piece about dressing in a way that makes you feel, dressing in a way that makes you feel sexy and good. It doesn't even have to be for, you know, the opposite sex, like doing it for yourself. I think that's the most important thing is like, I'm dressing this way because it makes me feel good. I'm doing my makeup like this because it makes me feel good. I'm doing my hair like this because it makes me feel good. And in the past, I have found myself being with men who wanted to change that about me. They didn't like the way that I dressed. They thought I should cover up more. They didn't like, you know, a lot of the things that I wore. And so I found myself not being able to fully express that side. And then now being in a relationship where my boyfriend literally does not get mad at me for the things that I wear. And he likes the crop tops. He likes when, you know, he can see my nipples. I just like don't wear a bra. But like being with men who put me down for that and calling me a slut and all that stuff to being with someone who lets me wear whatever I wear as I, you know, I should be allowed to wear whatever I want to wear. And if I want to wear a thong bikini, I can wear a thong bikini. And so being with someone who is in their healthy masculine and lets me fully express myself is something that has made me feel more confident. So yeah, I feel like a lot of women can relate to this, being with controlling men and being with men who, you know, get mad at them for what they wear or, you know, even photos that they post, they feel like sometimes they have to like hide and cover up. You're not someone who wants to show off your skin more. Like that's totally fine. But I like to. I like to wear my crop tops. I like to wear shorts. I like to wear, you know, my thong bikinis, and that's that. And that's what I feel most confident in. And, you know, if that's what you want to do too, do that. And then my final tip is get in touch with your cycle. This is the most empowering thing, I believe. And it's something that I've been learning more about this past year. And it has helped me feel so connected to my body. I know when I'm gonna get my period. So I just got my period. Thursday night, I said, Friday morning, I'm getting it. I feel it. When I'm ovulating, I can literally feel it. I can literally feel the cramps. The egg is being released. And so it's such a cool, empowering experience because I know what's going on with my body. I know where I'm at during my cycle. And because I know where I'm at during my cycle, I know, you know, how I'm feeling is all valid and real. When I'm ovulating and, when I'm ovulating, I'm more social. I am more outgoing. I want to dress sexier. That's because I'm ovulating. When I have my period, I want to wear sweats and baggy clothes and hide and be cozy and be at home. And it's more of an introspective, emotional time. My intuition is really at its peak during this time. And I feel super connected to myself. And so that's normal too. And so really just learning more about my cycle is super empowering because it's made me not feel crazy for the way that I feel. I know that sometimes we can feel bad, especially on our period, like, oh, like I'm not being social, I feel gross, you know, like at least for me, like when I am on my period, I just like, I don't like my reflection. I just don't feel sexy. And so now that I know that's a normal experience, I'm not shaming myself. I'm not putting myself down. I'm like, you know what? I'm on my period. I'm going to give myself grace and I'm going to redirect my attention and focus on something else. And so, yeah, that's just personally has really helped me. I recommend downloading the app, MyFlow. I feel like I've talked about it so much, but it really is just such a useful tool and has helped me learn so much about my menstrual cycle and how to eat and how to move my body and all that stuff. So they also have a book. I'm blanking on the name, but they have a really good book. I think just like tapping into this has made me feel overall more empowered and good. But I think that we believe in order to be powerful, we must be masculine. However, the power of the universe is feminine. Mother Earth is feminine. Mothers bring life into this world. Yes, masculine energy is great for your career and business, but if you are truly feminine at your core, you cannot live there. And there's nothing wrong with being in the masculine place. I just think that it takes self-awareness and conscious effort to shift and let go of your control or need to protect yourself. I see a lot of women specifically doing this, that they need to be hyper-independent because they have been hurt by wounded, insecure men. And so, as someone who has been through it all, and who has been able to lean more out of my masculine and tap more into my feminine, it has really changed so many things for me. Not even just in my personal life, but in my romantic life, you know, the way that I show up, the way that I work and all of that stuff. So it really is been such a beautiful experience, and it's safe to be in that place. I think that's a big thing, that it's safe to be in that, and there's people who are also going to teach you a lot about that. I think that's why I'm so grateful for my relationship being with a healthy masculine. He's made me feel safe and he has never made me feel less than. And the same for you, like there are men out there and their healthy masculine who are going to make you feel safe and is not going to make you feel less than. They're going to want to protect and provide. And so this allows you to step into your feminine and let your guard down and be vulnerable and so forth. And that's such a healing experience, because the more that you let your guard down and the more that you're vulnerable, you'll also let your partner be more open and let their guard down and be more vulnerable because you're the one leading that. And so I think that there's so much beauty in the feminine, because we really have this power to make people feel safe, to make people feel seen, whether it's a friend, a family member, a coworker. People gravitate towards the feminine for care, for advice, to feel heard and seen. It is a safe space. So there's so much beauty in that. I feel like I can talk about this topic for hours. I will definitely do a part two. I think the next one's going to be more focused around femininity and relationships. I kind of just wanted to cover the basics. I feel like I can dive in these other subtopics that I brought up, like intuition and all that stuff. So let me know if you are interested in a specific episode on anything that I talked about. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to share it with a friend, share it on your story, and also please reach out. I would love to hear your feedback and anything that you found interesting, or if you have any other advice about this topic, I would love to hear from you. And I hope you enjoy your day, your evening, and I will talk to you next week.